Welcome to this time together in Scripture, Reflection, and Prayer from Bethlehem Lutheran Church in Warrensburg, Missouri. I'm Pastor Joel Kurtz. As we gather together today on this seventh Sunday after Pentecost, this last Sunday in July, we're in this ongoing green season of Trinity, reflecting on the life and mercy and grace we have in the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Let us pray. O Lord, let your merciful ears be attentive to the prayers of your servants, and by your word and spirit, teach us how to pray that our petitions may be pleasing before you. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. The Book of Psalms is the prayer book of the Bible. There are 150 psalms altogether. All sorts of varied situations and circumstances and types of prayer. And the one we have before us today is Psalm 138. I give you thanks, O Lord, with my whole heart. Before the gods I sing your praise. I bow down toward your holy temple and give thanks to your name for your steadfast love and your faithfulness. For you have exalted above all things your name and your word. On the day I called, you answered me. My strength of soul you increased. All the kings of the earth shall give you thanks, O Lord, for they have heard the words of your mouth, and they shall sing of the ways of the Lord. For great is the glory of the Lord. For though the Lord is high, he regards the lowly, but the arrogant he knows from afar. Though I walk in the midst of trouble, you preserve my life. You stretch out your hand against the wrath of my enemies, and your right hand delivers me. The Lord will fulfill his purpose for me. Your steadfast love, O Lord, endures forever. Do not forsake the work of your hands. Today's Old Testament reading is from Genesis chapter 18. The Lord said, "Shall I hide from Abraham what I am about to do, seeing that Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him? For I have chosen him that he may command his children and his household after him, to keep the way of the Lord by doing righteousness and justice, so that the Lord may bring to Abraham what he has promised him." Then the Lord said, "Because the outcry against Sodom and Gomorrah is great and their sin is very grave, I will go down to see whether they have done altogether according to the outcry that has come to me, and if not, I will know." So the men turned from there and went toward Sodom. But Abraham still stood before the Lord. Then Abraham drew near and said, "Will you indeed sweep away the righteous with the wicked? Suppose there are 50 righteous within the city. Will you then sweep away the place and not spare it for the 50 righteous who are in it? Far be it from you to do such a thing, to put the righteous to death with the wicked, so that the righteous fare as the wicked. Far be that from you. Shall not the judge of the earth, all the earth, do what is just?" And the Lord said, "If I find at Sodom 50 righteous in the city, I will spare the whole place for their sake." Abraham answered and said, "Behold, I have undertaken to speak to the Lord, I who am but dust and ashes. Suppose 5 of the 50 righteous are lacking. Will you destroy the whole city for lack of 5? And he said, "I will not destroy it if I find 45 there." Again he spoke to him and said, "Suppose 40 are found there." He answered, "For the sake of 40, I will not do it." Then he said, "Oh, let not the Lord be angry, and I will speak. Suppose 30 are found there." He answered, "I will not do it if I find 30 there." He said, "Behold, I have undertaken to speak to the Lord. Suppose 20 are found there." He answered, "For the sake of 20, I will not destroy it." Then he said, "Oh, let not the Lord be angry, and I will speak again, but this once. Suppose 10 are found there." He answered, "For the sake of 10, I will not destroy it." And the Lord went his way when he had finished speaking to Abraham, and Abraham returned to his place. So far, the Old Testament reading. Today's epistle reading is from Colossians chapter 2. Paul writes, "Therefore, as you received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him and established in the faith, just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving. See to it that no one takes you captive by philosophy and empty deceit, according to human tradition, according to the elemental spirits of the world, and not according to Christ. For in him the whole fullness of deity dwells bodily, and you have been filled in him who is the head of all rule and authority. In him also you were circumcised with a circumcision made without hands, by putting off the body of the flesh, by the circumcision of Christ, having been buried with him in baptism, in which you were also raised with him through faith in the powerful working of God, who raised him from the dead. And you, who were dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made alive together with him, having forgiven us all our trespasses by canceling the record of debt that stood against us with its legal demands. This he set aside, nailing it to the cross. He disarmed the rulers and authorities and put them to open shame by triumphing over them in him. Therefore, let no one pass judgment on you in the questions of food and drink, or with regard to a festival or a new moon or a Sabbath. These are a shadow of the things to come, but the substance belongs to Christ. Let no one disqualify you, insisting on asceticism and worship of angels, going on in detail about visions puffed up without reason by his sensuous mind, and not holding fast to the head, from whom the whole body, nourished and knit together through its joints and ligaments, grows with a growth that is from God. Here ends the epistle reading. The Holy Gospel for today is from Luke chapter 11. Now Jesus was praying in a certain place, and when he finished, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray as John taught his disciples." And he said to them, "When you pray, say, 'Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we ourselves forgive everyone who is indebted to us. And lead us not into temptation.'" And he said to them, "Which of you has a friend will go to him at midnight and say to him, 'Friend, lend me 3 loaves, for a friend of mine has arrived on a journey, and I have nothing to set before him.' And he will answer from within, 'Do not bother me. The door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot get up and give you anything.' I tell you, though, he will not get up and give him anything because he is his friend, yet because of his impudence, he will rise and give him whatever he needs. And I tell you, ask and it will be given to you, seek and you will find, knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks it will be opened. What father among you, if his son asks for a fish, will, instead of a fish, give him a serpent? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" In many and various ways, God spoke to his people of old by the prophets, but now in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son. We reflect today on praying to live. In 1535, Martin Luther wrote a guide to prayer for his barber and friend, Peter Beskendorf, called A Simple Way to Pray. As an introduction to the Lord's Prayer, Luther encouraged him to pray this, which I invite you to pray now, silently, along with me. "Heavenly Father, dear God, I am a poor, unworthy sinner, not worthy to lift up my eyes or hands to pray to you. But since you have commanded us all to pray and promised to hear us, and through your dear Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, also has taught us both how and what to pray, I come in obedience to this your command. I come relying on your gracious promise. I pray in the name of my Lord Jesus Christ with all your holy Christians on earth." Luther went on in his prayer, the guide book that he wrote, to call the Lord's Prayer, as well as the name and the Word of God, the greatest martyr on earth. For everybody, he wrote, tortures and abuses it, while few cherish it and use it joyfully as it should be used. And as he went on to address the commandments, he stressed again the need for humble repentance when coming before the Lord of all, encouraging acknowledgement of our own great sinfulness and unthankfulness, our own countless idolatries, he wrote, for misusing the Lord's name for all kinds of shame and sin. Then he went on to pray for help and strength and said we should pray for ourselves and all the world. A little more than 400 years later, in a Germany very different from what Luther knew, a leader had risen up who established prison camps for everyone he considered unacceptable. One of those was Ravensbrück, near Berlin, where over 130,000 women and some children were held over a six-year period, and only a fraction survived. When that prison camp was liberated in 1945, this prayer was found written on a scrap of paper by a child's body. O Lord, remember not only the men and women of goodwill, but also those of ill will. But do not remember the suffering they have inflicted on us. Remember the fruits we have borne thanks to this suffering: our comradeship, our loyalty, our humility, our courage, our generosity, the greatness of heart which has grown out of all this. And when they come to judgment, let all the fruits we have borne be their forgiveness. What's astounding about that prayer is how it echoes and elaborates on Jesus' own prayer while dying in disgrace on the cross. Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. The boldness to pray that the Lord doesn't remember only those of goodwill, but ill will too, and that he not remember the way those cruel people made them suffer, but how they bore up under it with humility and courage and generosity, and that the fruits of that would be for the sake of their tormentors' forgiveness. Wow. Talk about not just praying for yourselves to live, but for your enemies too, and for them to be forgiven by God himself. It's astounding. And it gets to the heart of the prayer Jesus taught his disciples, doesn't it? It gets to the heart of the story Jesus told right after it, doesn't it? About the friend bothering you at midnight to get food for his unexpected guests, and Jesus' assurance that if we ask simply for the basic needs of life from an earthly father, he won't give us something harmful instead. So even more, when we pray for the Holy Spirit, who is the very source of life and faith, repentance and forgiveness, we can be assured that the perfect Heavenly Father will give him. And of course, it takes us to the heart of today's reading from Genesis, doesn't it? Abraham's intercession with the Lord for the people of the twin cities of Sodom and Gomorrah. Their sin was so serious and their wickedness so extreme. Why not just say, good riddance, wipe them out, Lord? Because, as we heard, the Lord chose him, Abraham, to keep his justice and righteousness. And Abraham comes for the Lord in humility. Who am I? Who am I? But who is dust and ashes? And so he wrestles with the Lord when things don't seem just or fair even, as God intends to do it. And like with that Ravensbrück prayer, he begs the Lord to spare all the unrighteous ones for the sake of the righteous, to let their uprightness be what saves the wicked, arguing with God for the sake of all, even if just 10 are found. Talk about interceding earnestly for others, pleading for their good, praying for them to live, and he's doing it. But Abraham's prayer was not to be answered in that way, was it? Even as he challenged the Lord himself to his face. And so we read in the next chapter about the destruction that came on all, with only Abraham's nephew and his two daughters surviving. And of course, that takes us to the true and only righteous one, Christ Jesus, of whom Paul wrote to the Colossians that he set aside the debt of our sins and nailed it to the cross in triumph, coming for us who were dead in our sinful wrongs and making us alive together with him, forgiving all, yes, all of our sins, burying us in baptism and raising us with Christ through faith in that powerful working of God which raised him from the dead. There it is, and for that we give thanks. That is the source of our prayer and our living. The grace by which we live, in the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. The Lord bless your days and your deeds in his perfect peace. Amen.